declaring our independence from, I don't know if I want to say, well, it's on the Columbia River from Washington State in the Canada, in a community up here that's been developing over the past, God, over a decade. And my family has come up here, my kids, my grandkids, you know, have been coming up here, good friends of ours and patrons that have been building a community. And when we're talking building a community, we're talking infrastructure. And I give you a perfect example. They have a lot of building needs and having concrete. Well, the only concrete place that was available here, the guy's retiring or near death or old or something. I mean, he was going away. So I guess we're in the concrete business because we need freaking concrete, you know, so we got to go buy us a concrete mixer. And in addition to their two big dump trucks and their semi and their scissor jack of their, you know, backhoe tractor, freaking all kinds of stuff up here. And they're looking for quality people. And this is one thing I wanted to talk to Mr. James Corbett, thecorbettreport.com, about, is that when you're building a community, and it's like, you know, hand calluses get blisters community, and you, yeah, but I'm a smart, super geek of, yeah, who gives a crap? You know, I can't eat that, whatever the hell it is you're talking about. You know, the first thing you need to do is you need to actually, you know, breathe in and out, not be too hot, too cold, too wet, you know, too hungry, too something. And oh my God, you might want to have a nice nest for a spouse. So, and then raise a family and all, I mean, just fundamental basic stuff. Well, all they want to do is like, yeah, but I need everything a body needs in my gruel, in my, you know, container down by the light rail system playing video games and player one crap. You know, that is so far from what's really going to keep us sustainable. So I wanted to, you know, start off with, there's a lot of news, you know, crazy stuff we'll get into, but when there's the actual real rubber meets the road community thing, give us some of the traits just off the top of your head, James, that you think is necessary.
Oh, I mean, nothing that would surprise you. Here's my question for you. Survival camp, man camp, whatever Luke Rogowski was talking about there. Is he still doing that?
Well, that's in New England. You know, we're in Washington State. He's back the Free State Project that was called Gun Church. You know, you got to practice religiously, you know.
But it wasn't just guns, though, right? It was like welding and whatever, right?
Well, man, yeah, there's a couple of things. What happened was Jay Noon, which is one of the guys of the Free State Project up there, at Porcupine Freedom Festival several years ago, he's just going, man, these guys, they don't know nothing. You know, we need to, you know, kind of get them a man camp, which was the logo is a woman. You know, he goes, you know, a woman's just a man with a womb. I mean, you know, he didn't care. But it was doing forging and blacksmithing and welding and, you know, knowing what a flathead screwdriver was. And there was years before that, there was a guy that had this blue school bus. They called it the tool bus. And it was just, you know, pre-teen kids, you know, from like, you know, 6 to 10. And they would go and learn how to use hand tools, you know, a saw, a hammer, you know, my God, they'd get a power tool or something. You know, do a drill, but the that kind of took off, and you could see the need for it. And in the Free State Project, they were actually building stuff. You know, people were going up there and, you know, making little homesteads. And then it so Man Camp came out of that. And then when Luke Rodowski finally made the break a couple of years ago and got out of Brooklyn, he went up to Jay's and he actually started, you know, we were welding, building chicken tractors out of, you know, old horse trailers, you know, and once he got started, the self-confidence just immediately hit him. You know, he was like, well, hell, this is cool. And then he started getting into firearms. And then, of course, he had to get, you know, because he's Luke Rudowski, he had to get a flamethrower because, you know, he had to get a flamethrower and light his candle for his birthday. You know, light the candle. Him and Jay, you know, shared a birthday. So that, you know, was entertainment. But it was a really good example of the kinds of skills that you need to be able to be an add to a community.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to come with something, or then you're just a disability. You're a liability. So
that's what I'm thinking. That's where my mind's going with this, because I think obviously there's a lot of people who are in that situation, myself included. I could do with some brush up of some basic skills there, because look, I do my research all day, every day. This is what I do. Is that going to be valuable in a survival community? Not so much. No. Honestly, if people are looking to profit from the collapse of society, I would say start your own. I mean, man camp, call it whatever you want, but take it on the road. Start preparing people for this, because that is going to be, those are the skills we are going to need. And what strikes me is we're getting the treatment that people get from their, you know, from their father. We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Yeah.
The globalists are offering you the easy way. It's going to be easy. They're going to provide you with the subsistence gruel that you need to physically survive, and they might give you a little bauble here and there to keep you occupied, but all you'll have to do is forfeit your humanity, your individuality, your all your rights, you know, whatever, just sign on the dotted line, give us your soul, and we'll maintain you in your little bubble. It'll just get slightly more uncomfortable as you go along, but don't worry. We won't pull the plug till after you're dead, right? Huh. But that's the easy way. The hard way is going to be, well, okay, we have to actually physically learn how to do some of this stuff on our own. And, everyone's making that choice one way or another right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I want to do some marketing, you know, now that I kind of got permission to do so. We have some really close friends that have been patrons for a long time up here in Washington State, and James knows who they are. But, you know, they have put a lot of infrastructure in, and they have – it's up to, like, 13 buffalo now. I'm like, God, man, they must have – they started having babies, man. Then they have hundreds of acres. They got different apartments, a tennis court, a gym. You know, they're building a mess hall. They have, you know, a lot of infrastructure. It's taken over a decade for them to do it. When they first got here, it was only a couple $100,000 out in the middle of nothing. And it was a farmhouse, a pole barn, and a, you know, a workshop. And that was it. And it was they had a spring here and a little pond, and it was a swamp. And now it's got, you know, all kinds of infrastructure and like three or four levels of it's the Hobbitville. Well, there was a Christian intentional community here that provided a lot of labor in doing some contracting and building stuff and so on. And now it's gotten to the point to where this small town up here of, I don't know, 500 people, if that, this little community, it kind of dying. You know, the restaurants start to go away. You know, the Washington State made sure every retailer got shut down and the, you know, restaurants weren't open. And they purposely killed every mom-pop business or whatever the hell. And now they're done. So you're going, all right, so what does that mean? That means that they got a grocery store that needs to be bought. Boom, they're in the process of buying a grocery store. Then they need to have, you know, a butcher shop. Then they're going to be, you know, more land that they're getting to run some cattle. They, you know, yet to get chickens, which is my vote, and they're going to be doing that. Have the buffalo. They'll be getting goats. Across the street, they, you know, do goat milk. They have, I mean, it's just, and it's now a community that's not necessarily has to be on their property. They're supporting the businesses that support a community. You know, do we need to get a sawmill? No, there's a couple of them already started up again. All right, boom, we got that covered. You know, somebody all of a sudden doesn't, the concrete guy is not doing it anymore. And he's retiring. Guess we're in the concrete business now. I mean, you know, so this is, we've been interviewing people, and we have a couple of guys up now, and we just interviewed a third to come up. Now, of course, they'd love Don and I and our family to come up, but I want to stay married, and I got to be in Arizona for whatever, but we'll be up here during some of the months, of course. But definitely I know the kind of people that are needed here, and it's high quality. If you want to be part of a community and are willing to work, which means a lot of these guys are in their 20s still, 20s and 30s, and they're looking for a spouse. We have young men and women. One young woman, Megan, she's in Seattle looking for anybody of like mind. It's not freaking bat crap crazy on this COVID thing. Came across our hostess up here. They started talking. She came up this week, and she's like, woohoo, I'm moving, man. You know, so we, this last Saturday in Spokane, there's a gentleman named Matt Shea that we met years ago at one of G.R. Griffin's Red Pill Expos in Spokane years ago. And he is a state legislator, or was, but he was conservative Christian, so they targeted and went after him like crazy. Well, he just refused to back down. He didn't run for reelection. He starts a church, you know, or started as an assistant pastor in Spokane, and all of a sudden, boom, man, it triples in size. And went, whoa, man, you need to start your own. I didn't want to have that big a church. All of a sudden, they do an event this last Saturday. We went and made signs at and brought the love bus and got to speak and all that kind of stuff. 6,500 people. I mean, you know, it was, you know, hello, in the middle of all of this bastion of freaking liberal whatever the hell. Wow. So it's happening. And those of you out there in the audience that are willing to work, you get paid. They'll pay you decent money, you know, to come and be part of, and I can add too. But what they need right now is manual labor, you know, construction. Yeah. They're building, they're digging ditches and doing gravel and running little, you know, skid steers and stuff.
It's like all the lockdowns and, oh, you know, we're going to have to stay at home, helped a lot of people to understand, hey, I can homeschool kids, you know, I don't have to send them off to the indoctrination camps. In the same way, I'm losing my job because I'm not getting the jab. Well, hey, here's an opportunity. Here's exactly how you can employ yourself, right? Yeah.
Well, here we have also Jordan Page has lived up in this area for a long time, you know, and he came up and they just, you know, loved it. And now they, you know, building, matter of fact, you know, tomorrow night, and go over and visit and help do floors. I mean, you know, he's doing floors. So, yeah, no, Ernie, you don't have to help do floors. Wink, wink. You know, that would not be. Yeah, okay. So, you know, we'll be doing floors tomorrow. And he has 7 kids. Well, guess who's going to be the teacher? You know, mom. You know, Mary, you know, they're doing a, you know, why not? They're doing it anyway. They might as well add another slew. And what do you need in the community? You're always going to need the school marm and the red brick schoolhouse of whatever. And the biggest thing is going to be doctors. They are, you know, there's got to be some doctors that just do not want to get some shot. They do not want to lie to their patients. They don't want to see them dying and dead over this stuff. And, you know, community that needs a doctor. And
you know, it's a really good point, because especially right now, there's all these people that are losing their, all these healthcare workers are losing their job because they're not going to, and you know, those are the ones with real integrity. You know, if they stood up and got fired because they wouldn't take the jab, hey, here's someone who actually is going to stand up and is really interested in my health. So it's a good way of finding these people.
Publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. You know, contact me, and it's starting to fill up. You know, and I told him, I said, be careful, you push the Ernie button. I mean, you know, here it comes. You know, I'm just FYI. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, they're up to like 4 people added to it. And they're going, well, I go, you need any more? Well, yeah. We know. I'm going, all right, you asked for it, here it comes. You know, so this is, and it's not just on their property. They're kind of the catalyst for the whole community that just died, you know, because it was killed by they, them, those intentionally for exactly this reason, you know, because they can sustain. They're on the freaking Columbia River. Duh, you know.
So you know what's a good way of getting this in or into people's heads? People who have never thought about this and never really wrapped their head around it. Just last weekend in my editorial, I was writing about Connections. Did you ever see that TV show? It was from the
90s. Yeah. The old British guy with the long sideburns. I love that show.
Yeah. Really, really, really well done show. And it's funny from my perspective. I remember watching it as a kid, but I haven't seen it in like 30 years. I went back to rewatch a bit for this editorial I was writing. And I was just trying to think, like, look at this versus the crap.
Were you able to find it? Could you watch it?
Yeah, it's online all over.
I've been trying to find it when I was looking years ago. I couldn't get it.
The whole series is up. You can watch it.
Very cool.
I was watching it and just thinking, wow, like, look at the difference between what they were doing 30, 40 years ago and what they're doing today. But anyway, the first episode of the first Connection series was on
BBC.
Yeah. It was on the Trigger Effect, and he starts by talking about a blackout that happened in New York in 1965 or something. There was a few hours, basically, where the power went out because of something tripping on some wire somewhere. And he goes through sort of, you know, the people in the subway and how they reacted to it, and the people in the hospital and the people in the airplanes and whatever. And then he takes that as a starting point for, like, okay, let's imagine if in a few hours the power didn't come back on. What if it's days, weeks, months, years? What if the power does not come back on? What do you start to do? And he starts walking you through each step of that process and, like, how far you eventually have to go until you end up, you're marauding through the fields, like, looking for a farm, abandoned farm, and you're going to have to start using the farm because you're going to need to grow your own food. But actually, everything on the farm is unusable now because it all requires gas or electricity or these inputs. So now you're going to have to go back to hand plows. And he shows how quickly it devolves into basically now you're a human from 10,000 years ago. Now survive. How far are you going to get? When you see that, I mean, we all can intellectualize it, but when you see him walk you through that process, you realize just how thin of a thread connects us to all this technology that we just take completely for granted. And he calls it the technology trap. We are in this trap. We don't even know it's a trap.
You know, that was one thing. I just had Max Egan on a few days ago, and he's all about, you know, the history that we have is not real. You know, we don't know what the hell history is. We made it up a couple hundred years ago. What the hell, you know? And you look back over history, and you can see that there could have been a big flood or a cataclysm of whatever, you know, as little as 20,000 years ago, and it's all gone. You know, we had to start over. You know, hell, Atlantis could have been, you know, technological, we're freaking, you know, been there, done that, and now all of a sudden we're back where we were. And that doesn't surprise me one little bit. And you can see it happen, which is where ManCamp comes in. It was forging. You know, that was the first thing that, you know, Jay's guy goes, you know what? When welding used to be, you melted metal. You know, it was a forge weld. So this has been, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring up here might be of interest to people. They have a new piece of equipment that is about, oh man, it's almost, you know, 16 feet long, 20 feet long. It's real wide. You pull behind a tractor and it just kind of has a wavies in it. And I'm going, what the hell is that? And they go, it's a crimper. And what it does is it just has these, you know, just blunt blades in a circle that all it does is the crops, it just, you know, smishes it down and crimps it and kills it so that you'd have no-till farming. You know, what they do is they just get the ground cover. They planted already a bunch of their fields now. It'll pop up, you know, and they crimp it down, and it's just ground cover. They're not plowing anymore. And this used to be how it was done until just 100, 200 years ago. Everybody had to plow everything, and it was all because of, you know, World War II and petroleum, and we got gasoline and fertilizer, and we're going to whatever the hell, and nobody knows how to remediate soil. You know, all of a sudden we got crap food. We have bad nutrition. We're not surviving well. And so when they're talking about a community and building the soil and doing because this soil here is so sandy and just crap, and it's Washington, but it's really bad. So that's what they're doing. They're building the soil over years to be able to have nutritious food. And they are doing it. They started with like an acre garden, and then they have two, they have a greenhouse, and then they're building a second one to where they have these conduits that go like 20 feet into the ground so that even though it's snow outside, it has enough warmth in the ground so that they have citrus trees in the snow. I'm going, so there are people that are taking this stuff seriously, and it's the people that are awakened, that understood how bad the economics were going to be and who these people are, that they knew they needed to start getting ready years ago, and they're just now feeling like, man, we made it by the skin of our teeth, you know? We might be able to feed ourselves.
Well, look, it's all these permaculture people who are doing the right things. I completely disagree with a lot of them who, you know, who completely bought into the carbon dioxide, we're all going to die from global warming stuff, but they're doing the right stuff. So I don't care about their, you know, underlying beliefs about this or that so much as what they're physically producing in the real world. And all of these wonderful innovative ways of using passive systems of design to incorporate nature's own devices and working with nature in order to create these systems that will, that are incredibly, what's the word? Resilient, which is a word that's much abused these days, but really are resilient in that sense. And that's, you know, that's where it is. And that's, I'm not sitting here on a high horse about any of this. No, I need to learn about this stuff too, but, we all do.
Well, we're under attack. The last week I've been, I was sick, and my lungs were fine. I didn't have a lot, but man, my energy is done. You know, it was, I want to take me a nap. I was able to drive the bus up here, you know, and Donna, you know, and I switched off and I could sit there and drive, but man, the energy was gone. And it, you know, still kind of lingering. And, you know, and you got to take care of yourself. And the biggest thing is you got to be able to eat right so you don't die. You know what I mean? Yeah. How about that? I vote that, you know? Mm-hmm. And the story today, I wanted to bring this up. I wanted to, James and I talk about this. Got up this morning, and this was the headline on Drudge. YouTube bans all anti-vax content. Google ends free speech. Of course, Google comes out and says how they're for free speech. But, you know, this is, when they did this, I'm like, one, you know, duh. It's not a big surprise to either of us. But that they are so blatant about this. You know, this is here we freaking go.
I see. The company previously blocked videos that made these claims about coronavirus vaccines, but not ones for other vaccines like those for music. Yeah, so just they're basically expanding it. Yeah, no surprise. Because I got banned because of COVID vaccines. That's essentially what.
Yeah, of course. You know, and this is, there's such a, I don't know, what do you think the battle is? I mean, we could go into details about, I mean, on economics, I had, did an economic show with a couple of guys today, you know, John Snizen and Tim Pachote, and, you know, come to find out that BlackRock, the guy, you know, the Federal Reserve kind of creates this thing so they can go and, you know, take these assets off the hands of the banks and be able to put in, boom, it's on the Fed balance sheet. I mean, that's what's really going on. Doing it was a guy that was Central Bank of Israel that used to be a Fed governor. Stop. I mean, seriously, how much more do I need to know? I mean, these guys, this is a big, giant, humongous, worldwide bank robbery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and we need to get ready. So, I mean, address that, James. I mean, tell the people, man, this is it. When you and I started off 2020, we were like,
exactly right. So, okay, you start digging, and on the surface level, you've got the coronavirus pandemic, so-called, right? But as soon as you start digging down, you start finding the monetary and banking connections to what's going on and the fact that they're re-engineering the economy itself and that they're trying to change over the monetary paradigm. And when you keep digging down beneath that, then you get into the, oh, well, you know, these vaccines aren't vaccines at all, and they're talking right. about how RNA is going to reverse transcriptase into your genome, and it's going to change who we are, and oh, by the way, we're working on all of this technology that will be embedded in what we call vaccines in the future, that will dial home, essentially, to Microsoft Central, I mean, the Gates Foundation, in order to receive their updates and all of this. I mean, the further you dig down, the more essentially it is about controlling not just the resources, not just the economy, but humanity itself. That is where this is going. I guess it's just how far down people are willing to dig, because it gets pretty nasty when you start getting down there. But yeah, this is not, obviously, this is not about a virus. This is not about a pandemic. This is about control of the earth. And for whatever reason, they're pulling the trigger right now. And I'm sure there are a number of different reasons, but they seem hell-bent on going all for broke right now. And I'm surprised. I'm not really surprised by any aspect of the agenda. I'm surprised at the way they've really gone for it in the face of becoming just so ridiculous that everyone can now see through it. And the only people who are going along with it are the people who are choosing to go along with it. I just saw an article. Even the Israelis are starting to go, you know, now that they're saying unless we get four boosters, we're going to be counted as unvaccinated. This is crazy. And people are starting to protest. They're starting to get the idea because it's so brazen. It's so in your face. But that's actually worrying. They don't care how brazen they are being. They're actually shoving it in our face and making us squirm.
It's a test.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they got to test and see how much, how you pass the test and what kind of test, the level of test. You know, this is a judge strikes down Arizona law banning face mask mandates in schools. So what happens in Arizona? They pass a budget and they go, nope, you can't mandate face masks in school. And then some judge goes, no, you can't do that. What? Who the hell are these people? They even think they could, you know, mandate, not mandate them.
They can take laws that have been passed by the legislature, right? You know, and they can take that and say, no, you can't do that because blah, blah, blah. And they can take the, you know, bake the cake. They can, you have to do this because you're a business. But they also, at the same time, are saying, well, you can force your employees to take experimental medical interventions in the name of, it's so obvious that it's just whatever agenda they are pushing is the way that they come up with legal theories about it. That, again, I don't see how anyone doesn't see this.
This is, but then what? You know, you see it and then what?
Yeah. Well, that's really the question. And there is, see, this is the thing we keep coming back to, because we're still in the mindset that there's some sort of redress of grievances from within the system. There isn't. There is not. So what was the other thing that was suggested in the Declaration of Independence when we can't get a redress of grievances from a government? What is our right and our duty?
Alter abolish.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, alter abolish, you know, which is, I'm wondering, you know, this is one story I wanted to make sure I was looking for. It's a fucking kid. And this is coming from Johnson & Johnson official as saying, look, we know this is crap and we're not, this is a Veritas thing. They got him on camera. He's dead. I mean, I don't know what the hell happens to him now, but we went through this years ago when a lot of the alternative medicine, people, the holistic doctors and, some CDC scientists, anybody that was, you know, showing any resistance, whatever, they were winding up dead. You know, they were dying left and right. And the thing is everybody's all conspiracy theory. And I'm going, well, I mean, you know, the hell, after four or five or six or seven of them, you start to get worried. You know, so I'm wondering if we're kind of past that now. They don't need to kill them anymore. They just get canceled, you know?
Yeah.
So we're talking to Max Egan. And he's scared. You know, he's thinking they're going to come after him. And he's genuinely scared. He's like going, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't. Sure as hell, they, you know, I didn't go away and they don't like it. So
he's still physically in Australia, right? Or is
No, he's in Australia. He's in Queensland now. I mean, you know, I don't know how long or if he can even get out. You know, I mean, you got to ask permission to leave.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, this is the same thing that John Snyder, we were talking to today, is in Winnipeg. He's not allowed to leave. You know, this is, see, I've been insulated. You've probably been insulated too, more than most, because, you know, the Western sunny climes of Japan thing. But I've been in a bus. I've been traveling the country doing whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
And then, but I go to Oklahoma for an event. Then we go to Virginia for a family wedding. When we get to Virginia, they're going to want me to wear a mask at a wedding. You know, I'm so you may kiss the bride, kind of. I mean, you know.
Through your mask, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was a, they were telling us here in Spokane, we were out to dinner, and our hosts were telling us the story that they had dinner at a restaurant, and then when this one young couple got done, they stood up, had their masks on, and passionately kissed in front of everybody, both wearing their masks. For what reason, I have no idea, but, you know, what theater is that, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, that's the kind of thing where you have to consciously remember that this is not a mask. It has nothing to do with any sort of physical thing. It is a talisman that's being used to transform our culture and our understanding of what humanity is. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that's most disturbing, because this is working at such a fundamental subconscious level. Imagine being a kid growing up watching this.
A couple other stories that'd be very Jamesy. One, you know, Dr. Simone Gold from, you know, Frontline Doctors, Patrick Byrne did a thing on, they're just really hammering on them forcing the military to take the jabs, where you have like the Chinese and the Russians aren't. They're like, no, hell no. You know, we need our guys to be like to fight and stuff, but we'll get the U.S. to do it, and then they won't be able to defend or something. What kind of crap is going on there? So that's worrisome. And then this one story, what happened in 1971? Edward Snowden and Jack Dorsey, both they did like Twitter post where they, you know, there's a website that in 1971.
I saw that site a few years ago. Yeah.
You know, so this is, you know, so what happened in 1971, James?
When did the gold window close? Was that 70 or 71?
I guess 71. I thought it was 72, but I guess it's 71.
No, I think it was 71. It might be 70. We should look that up. But I think that might be adjacent to whatever happened in 71. There was an interesting point someone made once about the peak oil thing. And people said, no, people are thinking of this wrong. It's not about peak oil as in, like, suddenly we can't get any oil out of the ground. No, it's about peak extraction, peak manufacturing, peak. And they were making the point that the 1970s were peak everything in the U.S. in terms of just their overall manufacturing ability and capacity. And everything since then has been a decline. And that's been masked by the fact that it's all been outsourced to cheaper places, because with the world reserve currency, you can afford to do that and have these trade imbalances. But not inevitably, not forever. I mean, at the point at which you start to lose the world reserve currency status is the point at which all of that comes home to roost, and you realize, oh, we have no productive capacity in this country whatsoever. So the 70s generally were peak everything in terms of actual manufacturing capability of the United States. I'm sure that's related to it, and I'm sure that's also related to the monetary changeover that happened in the 70s, which, as people know, of course, they closed the gold window, and then a few years later, you get the petrodollar, which has been kind of patched things over for the last few decades, but clearly we're going through the transitionary phase now, and CBDCs are going to be the inevitable result of that.
I remember talking to Peak Oil, who's that, Mike Rupert or something like that? I was producing for Charles, so I was doing pre-interviews with him and talking, just, you know, yakking it up and, you know, getting to come on the show and everything. So I, you know, do a little pre-interview, kind of what's his spiel on different things and so on. And then I just leave it. I go, I'll let Charles deal with this. But I go, this is what he said, okay? So I go, all right, so it's peak oil. How do you know we're at peak oil? You know, you got a 2-mile dipstick or something? I just need to know, what determination you're using for that. Oh, well, the Saudi Arabian government told me that. I go, oh, well, shit, you know, but seriously, that's it. You know, so I'm going, you know, so I'm so was never in with this crap because we were also dealing. The reason I had him on is because we come across abiotic oil.
Yeah.
You know, that, right. everything was just recharging. And there's a lot of evidence for that, too.
Yeah.
You know, so
all these old, old dried up wells suddenly refilling.
Yeah, because the hydrocarbon is a byproduct of the crust.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I know about that fraud. I've been researching for years. It struck me afresh when I was doing the big oil research, because one thing that kept coming out of the historical record when you're going back and reading about the birth of the oil industry in the 19th century, early 20th century, the fear that they kept talking about over and over was there's too much oil. There's too much oil. There's too much oil. We can't produce so much. It's going to completely tank the markets over and over and over and over and over. Well, they solved that. Oh, we're running out of oil. Oh, it's so scarce. We're going to have to jack up the rates. Oh, it's so scarce. Oh, the Saudi government is saying they only have so many barrels of reserve. Yeah, it's a scam. It's a scam. But,
well, this is why I like decentralization of everything, because it's not about, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not for destroying the planet. I mean, you know, the sun, like, produces, you know, photons, makes electrons, which is, you know, better than not. I mean, I don't care, but my thing is I'm going, it's more about the decentralization. Yeah. I'm not buying it from the Rockefellers, you know?
And yeah, that's why I like your approach towards, like, solar and things like that. Like, it's not about saving Mother Earth or something. It's because I can use it in decentralized fashion, and I don't need a permission slip, and I don't need some big corporation to be selling it to me.
You know, this is one thing I wanted to ask you. You know, you have the supply chain problems. You have, but the batteries keep getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. The inverter thing keeps getting cheaper. And I'm like on the edge. I'm like, damn, I need to buy, but it keeps getting cheaper. Mm. But, you know, I'm afraid there's going to come a point to where it doesn't matter. Yeah. You can't buy it anyway, you know?
Yeah, you should be buying what you can while you can.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that way. But, you know, my crypto went to crap. You know, silver's down to $21 and something, you know? Yeah, let's look at – let's just check that. I got the crap scared out of me, you know, this morning. I was looking at – and then, of course, I'm going, I think I need to buy me some more silver. Let's look at – top left up here, 21.52. Silver's down to 21.52. I thought it was going to be a while before I ever saw that again. You know? I'm going, damn. But then, of course, you know, to buy it, well, let's go to Roberts and Roberts. Let's just go find out what it really costs, you know. So let's see. You go to silver, 29.02. Yeah, so $8 freaking premium, so I guess that $21 is just paper money.
That's paper
silver.
Exactly.
You know, so this is the economy. You know, what do you think's going? How much?
Well, that's actually good. Thank you for bringing it up. The supply disruptions, the supply chain disruptions. Tell me about what you've actually seen and experienced traveling through the U.S.
Fuel prices have shot the F up, man. You know, that is one thing for damn Skippy. It is just, you know, but that has happened a lot of times. It's always going up and down and up and down. And a lot of times that is it's a psychological number. You know, what is the one numerical representation of your emotional state across the planet? It's whatever the price of gas is at the corner. You know, it's like a lot of people, their self-esteem is based on whether their football team won that weekend or not, you know? So you have my football team won and gas is down 10%. You know, that woohoo, you know, life is good. You know, so that's how easy we are to manipulate.
Plus, so, you know, whenever they talk about gas prices going up or down, one thing they never, ever, ever, ever talk about is what is it denominated in? Could it have something to do with a depreciation or appreciation of the dollar? They never, ever, ever, ever bring that aspect of it.
You know, it's because, for me, it's not applicable because I'm shocked it's as low as it is.
Yeah.
You know, especially with, you know, inflation. It's amazing it's as cheap as it is, especially when you look around the world, whatever.
Don't worry, they're going to solve that for you pretty quick. Have you read what's going on in Britain?
I've been waiting, you know. Yeah.
Britain, they're having huge gas shortages and stations closing down and everything right now.
Well, they're talking about having military tankers.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And that was one thing in the strategic oil supply. A lot of people don't know how much they're manipulating all this crap all the time anyway.
Yep.
When they want to get it up or down, they just, you know, buy oil or sell oil or change. I mean, it's just a big, giant, you know, screw. And then you look off of Los Angeles and how many – and this is one of the reasons why I'm going, yeah, I just need to go ahead and buy me some Chinese, you know, lithium iron phosphate batteries, because it may take 4 months from sitting out in the bay waiting to come get it offloaded. You know, there's somebody
that reminds me, I gotta get Bob Anderson on because I want to talk some solar.
Yeah, no, he'd be the guy. He'd explain it to you.
Cool.
You know, this is,
you'll have to put me in touch.
Yeah. We'll get it taken care of. Well, his son is who does the RV solar concepts thing.
Right. Yeah.
And that's one thing, because he's doing so well with that. He also works at the Palo Verde nuclear power plant. And they're starting to, you know, you got to wear a mask to the clap. Nope, not doing it. Got to get the shot for it. Nope, not doing it. And they're just like, yeah, well, what are you going to? He goes, I already got a gig. I got more than I know what to do with, so you guys can suck it. So they're kind of holding off. Oh, did I tell you about the Prescott thing? When we did the signs in Prescott a couple of weeks ago, there was September 22nd was the deadline, I think it was, that they wanted everybody to be vaccinated, you know, or you're terminated, you know, that kind
right,
of thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they just, nope. And then the signs went up. They had parties for them, support for our first responder, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, the signs didn't hurt. And all of a sudden, the hospitals come back and they go, yeah, well, we pushed that back to November 1st.
Wow, just by coincidence.
That's shocking, because we love you so much, you know?
Yeah.
And they were having, there's a small community there that's also part of the same consortium of, they're just all consolidating. It's all under, you know, health care conglomerate number, who gives a crap. And they were saying they weren't getting enough compliance in Cottonwood, the small community, so we're going to send them to Yavapai County, which is where Prescott is. And then they're not getting enough compliance, so they go, oh, we're going to have to close and send them to Phoenix. And then Phoenix, I don't think they're going to have to shut down the whole freaking system.
Mm.
You know, so then what? And do they care? Because the elite, they're not, they're getting their health care. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be an alter abolish thing coming, man. I don't know what.
It really is, isn't it? Something's going to give. I don't know what that's.
Well, what do you think? What do we got to wait on? What's going to happen?
Well, as you say, it's always a food thing. But I think by the time we get to the food thing part of this, in a serious way, it's already too late by that point. But that's the question. What do you think is the first domino that will really start the true revolution that's coming?
You know, I remember years ago, Naomi Wolf said when they start arresting journalists, you know, she was going to really, you know, this is where she was going to get quiet.
And now she's writing about the conspiracy smoothie, people talking about the Great Reset as if it's some kind of conspiracy.
You know, but it was like within her and I think Chris Hedges or something. They got arrested like a couple of months later or something in New York.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what line in the sand you put. They're going, they're bullies. They just kick it and go, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
You know?
That's kind of it.
Well,
but I'm saying, what's the point at which people start to say no, like en masse, really start to say no?
I don't know, but I'm seeing the manifestation of it in places like here in Washington. That, you know, when you go to Spokane on a Saturday and there's 6,500 people in a park, you know, going, no, in the middle of, you know, the liberal freaking whatever. And that's usually where it happens. You always have the counter to where it's the most, I don't know, they're showing their ass the most. You know, there's always, you know, the group going, oh, yeah. And then it goes, oh, yeah, well, oh, yeah, and oh, yeah. And then the drones, the robots, and the, you know, acid rain of freaking, you know, space god rod attack of what, God knows what. You know, I don't even try to keep track anymore. I don't care. And I tell you, okay, this is before we end this. This is a good thing to end it on. In the beginning, end of 19 or beginning of 2020, when you and I, you know, we were going, all right, this is it. All right, you know, here we go. Before even the COVID thing hit, we just knew it was coming because it had to be a financial thing of here we go, you know. So now that is well underway and here we go, do you think that there's going to be an abandonment of the system now and people are just going to just go find a small community somewhere or something of I'm just no and they're going to go look for whatever? Or is there going to be an active resistance and bullets fly of or both? I mean, what do you think how this is going to manifest?
Unfortunately, I think most likely would be the violent descent into chaos. And they're already trying to arm the population against each other. And we see the beginnings of that in the things like they're reporting everywhere that there's more customers, you know, throwing fits in stores and on airplanes and all this. They're trying to gin up that kind of thing because they want to pit the population against each other. I mean, obviously, there's tension, there's anger, there's frustration, there's existential angst going around right now. And so they're trying to direct that at each other. And they want it to be some sort of guns on the streets kind of thing. To me, the most hopeful and positive things that I've seen have been along the lines of the French picnic protests, just going for a picnic on the street in front of the bar that kicks you out because you don't have the vax pass. That to me is the way forward, the real way forward. But will people do that or will they go on the streets with guns and shoot at their neighbors?
You know, a lot of people, they don't really realize, they look at these other countries around the world and hell, a lot of times they're half the size of states in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, they're thinking like, you know, well, the United States isn't going, United States, what? We got 50 freaking states.
Exactly.
We got one out in the middle of the Pacific, one way up the hell north in the, you know, between us and them is, between us and them is Canada. They don't give a crap. You know, people out in the middle of, they're not paying attention. You know, we have, you look at the population density of the maps of, you know, on the, within 100 miles of the coast, and then you've got flyover country for everything else. It's like, whatever they manufacture or come up with is going to be bullshit anyway, you know?
Texas,
I just think,
New York, Wyoming, Washington, it's all the same, right?
Not even freaking close. So I just, when I traveled, the one thing that surprised me the most was New Mexico. New Mexico was way more, you know, masked up than I anticipated. And Vermont was freaking lost cause, man. I was just like, holy crap, how fast can I get through Vermont? And a lot of times you would, you know, do your traveling as you're going to New England. You know, you try to avoid Massachusetts to New York as much as possible just for the freaking highwaymen wanting to get their, you know, money out of you.
Yeah.
So it's and the way they do their tolls and all, it's just craziness. So this has been, I and a lot of the friends that we have that have resources were going around the world. You know, we had friends that have places in Croatia. You know, friends that have stuff in Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, Panama. And then when all this happened, they go, wow, the United States is better than any of these places now, you know, and the United States has got problems. So I'm wondering where how this is going to manifest itself. But I am of the opinion, see, I don't want to say anything because it's like I manifest it when I say it, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be surprised when we must therefore acquiesce in the necessity. And the necessity is going to be, I said, leave me alone. And you're definitely not doing it. You wanted it. You asked for it. All right, here we go. And is it going to be out in the open and they're going to, aha, there they go. You know, they're not going to see it coming from me. I'm not going to advertise it. You're not going to infiltrate a militia of one. You know, I mean, how the hell, you know, it's just, you just don't want to piss grandpa off. I go, you know, what'd you think was going to happen? And you multiply that times a gazillion, and you know, like, shit happens. So that's what I see is coming, and I wish to avoid that as long as possible, because I want to be able to embrace my grandchildren with the humanity of a grandfather that's clean, you know, of soul and didn't have to lay waste and kill people.
Yeah.
You know, no, or get killed.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I don't buy into the enemy propaganda that you're such a fringe weirdo for thinking these things and no one thinks like you. But realistically, people like you and me, we are a minority of the human species. Most people may even kind of harbor some of our kind of ideas about freedom and stuff. But when push comes to shove and they have to make a decision, are probably going to, you know, okay, I'll just go with the flow. I'll go with the crowd. Most people are like that most of the time.
Most.
We've always known that we're a minority and will probably always be, will be, as long as humanity is humanity.
Yeah, but 1% out of 300 million is a lot of people.
That's what I'm saying. This is the time where you start to see who really is on your side, who really is your kin in that sense. And that's when you have to find ways to live with those people and whatever. And that's what the community thing's all about. It's the big sieve, right? And what comes out of the bottom is the finest grains, right?
Well, it's been gun rights. You know, this is what I've been doing this 30 years, and I'm telling you, you want to find out who's what and mind thinking of some, try and take their guns away. Yeah. You know, they'll be all kind of cool, collected, and kind of but that doesn't stop them from buying another 1,000 rounds of ammo. You know, so this is, I don't think I don't think they care. You know, whatever we're looking at, the people, you know, they're just insulation. They're perfectly willing to sacrifice them for whatever the hell it is.
There's really, there has been a change. There really is some, you know, some switch has been flipped. And it's hard to articulate that because you look back with...
What do you mean switch flipped? What do you mean?
You look back with the filter that we have, given what we know now, and that's the way you look back at things in the past. But honestly, I think when you listen to someone like Catherine Austin Fitz or whatever explaining about the corruption that existed in the 90s or in the 80s, yeah, of course there was corruption, but it was a different flavor. Now it's a genuine disgust and hatred of the lower classes, and we're going to take everything we can from them that didn't exist back a few decades ago. That level of depravity wasn't there, or at least wasn't predominant in the ruling class. It is now. I mean, the gloves are coming off. And yeah, it's increasingly like they don't even care. They don't even care if we see it at this point. I don't know what that switch is. I don't know how or when or why it was flipped or what it means, but it at least it
they
lets
don't have
us
to hide
know.
Anymore.
It lets us know who's on what side of what line. And it's
no, I went through this. You know, okay, I'll explain this, you know, so from my perspective. So, you know, this is a good point to bring up. In the early 90s, late 80s, when I first started becoming aware of the corruption, and I would meet with legislators, and they, you know, they thought that I'm a young guy, they are going to offer me, you know, and you're going to take it, and because they think that way, you know, they, you know, if somebody offered them, they'd jump right at it. They thought I was just going to, you know, woohoo, give me mine, you know. And I go in and I meet with the legislator, a couple of them. I met with the governor, met with, you know, I'm just a young, naive, you know, you're redheaded, freckle-faced kid of whatever, right? And this too could be yours. And I go, wow. Well, that'd be a perfect example. This one legislator that later got caught in this big sting that, you know, I was, you know, they thought that I was part of, and I just didn't, because I didn't, you know, jump at the chance, they thought I was part of the sting, you know, and it was, I didn't, of course, I didn't get, you know, caught in the middle of it. And then the county attorney called me in, wanted to know how I knew so much. And I go, let me tell you how much I know. I know enough to know you're not going to do anything about it. That's how much I know. Well, it was nice talking to you. Peace out, you know. But when I was meeting with the legislator, he went like this. He looked right at me and he said, well, my clients this and that, and they want so and so and such. And it was a commerce thing. And I go, you mean constituents? And he goes, no, clients. They pay me to introduce legislation, dummy. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, just like, you're, are you stupid? You know, this is how it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, these guys are open about it. So then I went to the some Capitol reporters that had become, I don't know, acquaintances with. I mean, at least they took me that I was serious. And I did manila envelopes, you know, just regular file folders. And I had all this stuff that I was doing. And I just didn't want to have all this information, you know, myself on these guys. That's how you wind up dead, you know. So this is before the internet and all that kind of stuff. So I put all this information and names that I knew in a folder, and I gave it to like three reporters. And I go, here's the information. These guys are blatant about it. This is it. Well, then it was called ASCAM. And when it broke in the paper, and it was really a warning to all of the legislators to stop meeting with these undercover or whatever the hell it was, right? So then they go, holy shit, this is everything, all the stuff Ernie's been saying. So they call me and, oh, we want you to, they wouldn't write the story. They killed, they spiked the story.
Yeah.
And the only way that the story got out was the Clear Channel radio station that was there wanted me to come on, but radio doesn't break news. So they had me write a guest article for one of the newspapers there, so then they could have me talk about the article on the radio. That's how the media worked.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and this is 1991, 92, right. Around that. Yeah. And I'm a young kid. I'm going, wow, this is corrupt from top to bottom.
Yeah,
every way imaginable. So, but look, what was the bad guys? They were thinking that this is how it works. This is what they're going to do. They were open about it and didn't care.
Exactly right. Caught. No, you know what it is. That story really illustrates the idea. There are three types of people. There are the people who understand that the government is a monopoly business and want to go into business and use it for themselves. There are the people who understand that government is a monopoly business and see that as a bad thing and want to fight against that idea. And then there are the people who buy the monopoly business's propaganda, like, oh no, we're sunshine and rainbows. You are the government. Oh, it's all about, we serve our constituents, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and buy all the unicorn rainbows. Which one are you, right? Like, that's the big question.
The next thing's the smart cities thing with the funding with it. I can see it. This is what's coming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff, you know, Patrick Woods and I were, you know, uncovered and did in the PDF of whatever. This is here we freaking go. And that's just the next level of milking it by putting all these municipal debts that they could just, and it's a feeding frenzy. And it's not a feeding frenzy on any money that they got. It's a feeding frenzy on the future of your children's money. Mm-hmm. It is an indebtedness that they're doing and bonding on everything. And somehow they're going to have to rationalize and convince you that you owe it. And I go, and that's why we did this. You know, it's not my debt. And I don't know if you remember the billboards that we did, you know, with the kids and so on.
It's not
my debt. And it was a baby, you know, with barcode being scanned over, you know, a grocery scanner. Another one was a baby in the womb. It's not my debt. And we did that. 9 locations on freeways, on billboards, 14x48 billboards all around the freeways in Phoenix, Arizona, because my first grandchild was in my daughter-in-law's womb, and they put this backpack on her. And I'm going, you know, you guys done pissed me off. Well, it hadn't gotten any better. It's 12 years later. You know, now what?
Yeah.
You know, you're right, man. There's something going to break. And I'm doing the best I can to try and, you know, keep hope alive, you know, and keep the direction going in the right way. But
I think as communicators, as people with an audience, we have to continue to explain what's happening and explain the way that it should be going, but we should be preparing for the ways that it's going to go that could be very bad. And we should be prepared for that and helping our audience to prepare for that. So
man,
keep doing what you're doing. It is important. Mm-hmm. You know that, but I want to just let you know.
Well, thanks. You know, and I'm glad you're there. Your name and your videos come up so much. You know, when we were at this event in Spokane, people be talking, and I wouldn't even have to bring it up. They go, well, Corbett did a thing. I'm going, thank God, you know. And that's why I'm encouraged about doing the paper and so on, because maybe even some trifolds, too, or stuff to pass out, because they just need this. They go, holy crap, this is I did not know this. You know?
Exactly.
Well,
yep.
And a lot of
this, this is the time. This is the time for planting seeds. You're going to reap incredible, bounteous harvests in the near future.
But at the same time, we're actually doing the community thing.
You
know, publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. If you're, you know, a young person unencumbered with a whole bunch of, you know, debt or drama in your life or freaking mental damage or whatever, you're just, you know, going, look, man, gosh darn it, I'm smart and people like me, you know, I want to be part of a community because we're being selective. You know, we're going through a process. You know, I'm sorry, we're not, you know, a welfare system here. You know, this is for people that are accomplished individuals that want to build a life for themselves and have not been given the opportunity or haven't, and you're the target of those because you're smart, because you're productive, because you're a good catch and need to get married, you know, and make babies, you know, because this is when you make babies. This is it. This is why. It's to breed them out. And if you're, you know, that kind of person, you think you'll make it through the, you know, first levels of interview, publisher at freedomsphoenix.com will get you hooked up and be part of a community that's actually, even though I may not, you know, be here that much because it's freaking cold, but, you know, you know, and we're going to be doing the same thing in Arizona, but this has got it. They're way ahead of the game here. Yeah. They're a decade ahead of a lot of people because they've saw it coming.
Awesome. Okay, I got to get going, but always good to talk.
Always good. Always good. I feel better, man. We got to go free some of the right minds here. Thank you, James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, Ernest Hancock, FreedomsPhoenix.com. Peace.
Take care.
Bye.